Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Hypnotica with Chantel and Melissa. Today, we are talking about the idea of parts. So, we'll be discussing IFS parts therapy, the movie Inside Out, and how the whole concept of parts has changed our lives. So, I will start with you, Melissa. Tell us about your experience with parts.
Oh my goodness. Yes, this is like one of my most favorite topics, and it didn't start off that way. So, in my late 20s, I had a therapist who introduced this to me, and I wholeheartedly, like, not to her face, but rejected it. I'm like, no. She would say things like, oh, a part of you is over here experiencing these emotions, and you have this other part that's over here. And that didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, no, I'm an adult and I'm experiencing this. So I was just like, no, I don't agree with that. But I didn't say it out loud. I'm just absorbing this information. When I looked more into it years later, because I had gotten a new therapist who was also saying very similar things, like a part of you is over here at this, another part is this. She explained to me that when we're little and we are experiencing trauma, we have parts that will fragment off the whole of us. And in that fragmentation, as we get older, we'll go through things and go through life and get really triggered by stuff. But the trigger, what we experience as a trigger, is not our adult experiencing the trigger. It's that little kid part. When she explained it that way, I understood it better because I started connecting the dots. Oh, yeah, I get irrationally angry or irrationally upset. A lot of this was happening in the realm of relationships. When my partner is doing this, or when my partner is saying this. So I started to take it a little more seriously, started to look into it more, and then really started connecting to the parts of me that were getting ultra triggered. And it was happening at that point in life, it was happening in the moment of the trigger, of checking in with the part and asking, what's real for you right now? And usually that part, then this is just my personal experience, but that part will show me things, will show me images, will I'll sometimes hear words. I'm like, oh, that's actually coming from this experience I had in childhood, like with a parent, or sometimes in school with a friend. And it's soothing that part. My parts generally need a lot of reassurance and a lot of words of affirmation. And really being present with them. And then they calm down because they're actually being seen. They weren't being seen and validated back then. And now they're up, like in my adult life. And I'm going to say, creating some chaos sometimes. So we soothe them and things start to, it's like my nervous system starts to regulate. And in that, my adult can act from a state of responding instead of reacting. So, more present day, I had hired a coach who is really good, like the best I've ever had. Her name is Valerie Schrader. She led me through a lot of exercises to help calm the parts and help the parts and actually be with the parts even before the trigger gets started now. So even before we're triggered. So my current practice now, usually when I wake up, or if I don't do it when I wake up, right before I go to sleep, I will check in with each part. There's usually four that are the loudest, and I will check in with each one, see how everyone's feeling, see what they need, provide that, and then go about my day. And that has been so wonderful for, I get, yeah, nervous system regulation. So I'm going throughout my day not being reactive. And if I do react, it's pretty quick now to soothe the part and then respond from my adult self. So I went from being a full skeptic to a full believer.
Isn't that just the way it goes, eh?
Yes.
I hear ya. What a beautiful story. I love that. Yeah, I don't even remember really the first time being introduced to the idea. It was either when I watched the movie Inside Out and there was like that control panel with joy and the other emotions, fear and anger and disgust and sadness. And I was like, oh, you know, like we are at the control panel. We have these emotions. Different ones can take charge at different times. They're reactive by different things. And it was like, oh, you know, like there's an observer part of me. And I also had a friend with DID, dissociative identity disorder, you know, where the parts are so completely fragmented that they, when one is, you know, kind of in charge, they don't really remember the other ones. They can just flip at random triggered times. And so trying to understand all of that, I don't know. And I always have wanted to understand others better. And I found that the more I could understand myself and like have some awareness, show compassion to myself, have that inner critic change to the inner coach. And my life changed. Like, you know, that's when I went from victim to empowered. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on narcissists lately, you know, like someone's gonna be a bad guy, right? But I feel like all of us at some time have, you know, felt like a victim or, you know, did something narcissistic. I heard something interesting the other day too about, you know, what makes a narcissist. And there's a theory that it's like a trauma that happens to someone pre-verbal, you know, where they are really dependent on everyone else outside of them to meet their needs and their needs weren't met. So they go about life, you know, with those inner child parts, thinking that, you know, everyone kind of owes them something or, you know, really in victim mentality. All of that can be shifted, but like, you know, how they say sometimes with narcissistic people, they don't really see themselves as the problem. Like their protective parts come out so much that they're just blaming everyone else instead of doing a little bit of introspection. But I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself for someone who doesn't, you know, has never heard of the word protective parts. I'll just give a brief overview of the IFS parts therapy structure. Says that there's three basic parts of us: our observer part, which they call the self, and then protective parts, which can take lots of roles, such as a firefighter, which is like a very triggered, you know, part that just wants to shut down any emotion right away or wants to just lash out. The firefighters can be like addictive things like alcohol, drugs, etc. And then there's like a different kind of protective part, which is more of a manager, like very like, I want to stay on top of everything. You know, everyone sees them as the perfect person, right? But underneath, not so much. And then there's the third part, which is the inner child parts, which they call the exiles. And those ones are the ones that have the emotion, and those are the parts that can seem to be triggered out of nowhere, where you're just like, I was going about my day, I was in the store, I heard this song, and all of a sudden, bam, there I was crying. Like, what happened? Right? I don't want this to happen to me again. This is embarrassing. All of this can be fixed with hypnotherapy, which is why I love hypnotherapy so much. So yes, there are two books if anybody wants to know about parts therapy. This one's called No Bad Parts by Richard Swartz, who made up the whole idea of parts therapy. And then there's the book Self Therapy. I have three volumes, but this one has the basic. There we go. It's called Self Therapy. So it's basically, there's a lot of drawings in here where you learn about different parts and how they react, et cetera, et cetera. And I also have another book for like the therapists who want to do the deep inner work. But what I find with clients when we get to like a block or something, or oftentimes it even just shows up as a feeling in the body, like a pain in the body or a very like tightness in the body. When I ask that part to like kind of come out of them or give them a color, give that part a color and come at arm's length and like kind of personify it and like talk to it, say, what do you want from me? What do you need from me? How will you feel when you get what you need? And then filling it with that, whatever it needs of calmness or reassurance, like you were saying, how that part can calm down and can even be given a job, a more helpful job. You know, some of these protective parts have been doing this job of protecting us from when we were little. And sometimes, you know, when we grow up, we don't need all of that protection anymore, but it's like that protective part hasn't gotten the memo yet. And so when we can give it a more helpful job, then yeah, life can be a lot easier.
Yes. Can you talk a little bit more, please, about giving those protector parts a different job?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's different for everybody, right? So let's say someone was coming in, well, a lot of people think that hypnosis is just to stop smoking, but it's for pretty much any problem or block you have. But let's use smoking, for example. So it's an addiction, right? So talking to the part of them that started smoking as some kind of a, well, I mean, people start for different reasons. Oftentimes it's like different than what most people come to therapy for. It's like a negative association. But sometimes, a lot of time for smoking, it's a positive association, right? Like they want to fit in with their friends, right? Or like that kind of a thing. And so just being able to kind of call out a certain part of yourself and like see what it needs, or trying to get its need met in a different way. Oftentimes in adulthood, people are using or smoking or any addictive thing as a coping strategy for stress, right? And so when we can minimize the stress or meet that need in a different way. And the thing is, I'm not the kind of therapist that says, okay, this is what you need, right? All of the answers come from my clients. Like, it comes from their subconscious mind, because when they're so calm, they can access a lot of inner resources they didn't know they had. And so each person is going to have a different, more helpful thing that can be helpful for them, right? Like, it's not, there's not like one thing fixes everyone. That's my bit of a pet peeve about the self-help world, where people are like, write this book. I'm like, this is how I made $1 million. This is how everyone can do it, because what works for me works for everyone. No. And we're so different, all of us, right? And we all need different things. And I could guess for like 1,000 years about what you might need to help a certain part. But the only one that really knows what you need is you, is your subconscious mind. You know the more helpful thing. You know what it needs to be soothed. You know what I'm, you know? And sometimes we just need a guide to kind of keep us on that track, or teach us how to navigate that. Or, yeah, I was so glad that I had someone walk me through it so that I knew how to, yeah, I guess a story that I have was like, I was in the shower and we had this new soap that I didn't usually buy. I usually buy unscented soap, but my kid had bought this one kind of soap and it smelled like the soap of my childhood. And immediately my mind went back to when my mouth was washed out with soap as a child, and I was freaking out. Like, my body was like, ah, like I was starting to panic. And so in the shower, you know, I don't have my books. I don't have a therapist. I don't have anybody to help me out here. So I was just, I closed my eyes and like, okay, that part of me, I'm bringing it at arm's length out. What do you want? You know, what do you need? How can, you know, how will you feel when you get what you need? And I fed it what it needed and it calmed down, and I gave it a more helpful job and put it back in. And, you know, I felt good again. And I was like, wow, what a helpful tool.
Yes, definitely.
And even like some people, and myself included, tapping really helps me like get into the moment. Like when I have like a physical, like when I get all tight here or get a bit of pain in my chest or anywhere, I can do like the tapping, you know. It's just like, even though I feel such and such, I give myself what I need, you know, what could I need? And then it's just like, just that going inside, asking those parts what they need, giving it to them, and like they calm down, and then it's like, oh, they feel heard. So much our physical responses or our triggers, it's just a part of us that needs something, that needs attention, needs some kind of validation, and then it'll calm down, just like you said.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing all of that. Especially what you were mentioning with being in the shower and being like triggered by the soap. I've also had those moments of just, it externally looks like a very small thing, but internally, and sometimes, yeah, I will get reactive and it's like, oh my gosh. Okay. And it's backtracking of like, what is this reminding me of? Who's upset right now? What do you need? And doing that for myself first, and then figuring out, yeah, if there's another person involved, how to respond to them. Sometimes I do love EFT, the tapping, for sure. That was another thing that I used to be really skeptical about, but now I'm a believer. Now I still do it. I love it. With my parts, because you were mentioning hypnotherapy and getting in a calm enough space to be able to hear them, especially with your clients too. I do this for myself, but then I also do it with my clients too, of letting my parts write to me. Like, I have a whole notebook that I use for them. They get, and they like all the colors, so they get to pick their colored pens, and everybody has their color, and I let them talk to me and let them write to me, and I'm intuiting what I'm hearing them say, and it's been so helpful to allow them space to talk, space to choose what they need to say in the way that they want to say it. And a lot of times, especially if I'm talking to the littlest parts, it's a lot of fragmented sentences, and they don't need to say much, but they do want to be heard. And it's the same homework I give my clients too, where it's like, okay, we're going to sit down. We're going to get your pens and your paper and let them do their thing. And if writing is not your thing, the other thing I will ask people to do is to like move their bodies in a way that feels really good to them. Like putting on music, whether it's slow music or angry music, and just getting that emotion or getting that feeling out of their body through movement. It's also been extraordinarily helpful.
That's so awesome. Yeah, I know what you mean about like being skeptical at first, and coming from a super religious background, I was like scared to death of anything. Like if someone said, oh, you know, the spirit of this, or, you know, talking to a demon or whatever, right?
Yes.
Like, I was like, no, I'm going to run as far away from that as I can. But it's just like, we all have inner demons, like not actual demons, but we have these things, like these inner conflicts, where one part of us wants this and another part of us wants that. And it's like our mind can get super loud at times if those two parts are fighting. But the thing is, when we can slow down, have some awareness about those parts, identify, you know, what they are, like really call them out, like one part wants this. If that part had a color, what would it be? If that was a symbol, what could it be? And then on the other hand, bring out the other part. Okay, what was the color and symbol of that one? Have those two parts, instead of being enemies, start to become friends and start to communicate with each other. What does one part have that the other part would like more of? You know, what would that part have that the other one would like more of, you know, and how can they slowly come to a bit of a compromise where they can work together and be more integrated into your body and mind, instead of having like such, you know, a war in your mind. Very helpful.
Yes. Yes. I love that you mentioned integration, because I feel like that's the goal. with parts therapy. You want to integrate everybody.
You're so right. Like, we want to come back to the complete whole. We want all parts of ourselves to be working together for our happiness. And you know what they are? Like, when you mm-hmm. think about it, even the parts of us that are super misguided, they are just trying to, you know, get us to be happy. That's the highest purpose and intention of each of our parts. They're just maybe going about it in a way that's not as helpful to us as it was, you know, in our childhood. Obviously, in our childhood, we didn't have as much autonomy and control over our lives and choices, but now as adults, we do. And so our adult self can give our child self more options. And when our subconscious mind, our child self, has more options, we always pick the best one for us. Mm-hmm. And so just realizing that in ourselves can give us so much more compassion for other people who are struggling too. I find that, you know, when we judge ourselves, then we're quicker to judge other people. But when we have compassion on ourselves, we have more compassion for other people. We give more grace, and therefore allowing for better relationships to be built, because people feel heard and understood that way.
Definitely. Yeah, this self-compassion, how that radiates out of us once we start doing it. It's having enough self-awareness to know when you're triggered. Yeah. And enough curiosity to look at yourself first instead of like blaming the external, which is hard. It takes a lot of courage to do that.
Well, see, it's just parts that are, you know, thinking that they're helping, but they're not really, right? Mm-hmm. So protective parts don't want us to feel any pain. And so when they see pain on the horizon, they're like, ooh, stuff that down. Don't feel that. Put that in a box. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the problem is when we have so much of that trapped energy in our bodies that is put in a box and it just wants to be released. Like, that's why we get triggered. That's why sometimes when we slow down and start to meditate, all of a sudden all this stuff comes up and people are like, oh no, don't want that. Yeah. You know, where's the firefighter part? Come just spray water on that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. but what we don't realize is that there is a comfortable way to just release that emotion, let that go, bring in the energy of the elements, you know, water can help wash that emotion, and fire can help burn it away, and wind can help blow it away. You know, like all the elements can play a helpful role in just releasing the emotion from the body. Once we actually learn what that part wants to say, you know, I find like that's what first has to happen. That part has to be seen, heard, validated, and then we can let the emotion go. You know, we can let it flow through us. We can let the energy run through our bodies instead of having so much blockage and so much tension.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the tension is so real. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. we just carry all of that. Yes.
Yeah, right now working on a script, I came across this one kind of chakra meditation when my kid was watching Avatar The Last Airbender. It's like a cartoon, but they did this really cool one where they visualized pools of water with like different pools running into each other. And they sometimes had blockages that they just released and then just let the water flow through. And I was like, what a cool visualization. I want to listen to that every night and just get that energy flowing again.
For sure. Just thinking about that feels very calming. I'm like, oh, it's all done. It washed it all away.
Right. And like, it's another thing that, what I do every day in the shower is I just visualize the water coming through my head instead of around my body. I feel like it coming like through and just washing anything not meant for me, any negativity down the drain.
Oh, I need to try that, because I just do the external.
Most of our shower every day, and like, why not visualize that?
Yes. Yeah, I'm usually like imagining negative energy coming off my skin. But if I look at this.
Everyone can do it in a different way. It doesn't have to, what works for me might not work for you. But like I said, the more choice we can give to people, the more options they will pick, mm-hmm. the one that's best for them.
Yes. Absolutely.
I used to be overwhelmed with all the self-care things and thinking, oh, wow, like I'm reading all these books and they all have different ways. Like I have to do them all in order to be happy. Oh, this is too much. I can't do all these. I can't do yoga and go for a walk and go to the gym and, you know, like all these things all in one day. But you don't have to. You know, you can just pick the one thing that you need right then. You just ask yourself, what do I need? And then you get that answer like, oh, I just need this. Like I didn't drink water today. Oh, maybe I should drink water. Like you wouldn't have come to that conclusion had you not asked yourself what you need. So
yes,
very important. And it's my friend Tamara and I, we came up with this 3-thing system where you move the body, quiet the mind, connect to self or connect to source. If you do, you know, everything falls into those categories of self-care pretty much. So you don't have to do all the things. You just have to do the one thing that's best for you that day.
Yes. Yeah, because you're right. It gets super overwhelming trying to do literally everything. It's like, no, what do I need in this moment? That's all.
And I mean, that's connecting to a part, even if we haven't like named it or, you know, like you don't have to have like this big epiphany and, you know, a million sessions with people to figure out what your parts are and what their names are and all that thing. You just have to ask yourself what you need and that part will speak and you don't have to know its name and you don't have to be afraid.
Yes. I had an acupuncturist share with me years ago to name the parts. And I started to do that, but it felt like too much for me. I was like, oh, I can't. That's no. I'm trying to keep all these things straight. That, and it worked for her, which is perfect for her. But it's like, that was not my strategy.
Yeah, no, I don't, like right now, I can't really think of any parts of mine that are named. It's just like in each therapy session that I have, I you know, I name it, I do what I need to do, and then it's done. And I don't really give it a second thought. So I just feel like whatever part needs to speak at that time will speak. And then and it's done. Yeah.
Yes, that's also where I'm at now. I'm like, okay, this one wants this. Here we are.
Nice. Yeah. So is there anything else that you can think of that you'd like to share with our audience in terms of parts, or what are you thinking of for next week's episode?
Just to be super gentle with yourself while you're navigating this. There are no wrong ways to approach this. It's like, yeah, there's no wrong ways. Be super gentle. Sometimes it's hard to hear your parts in the beginning. Don't make that mean anything bad about you, because it's not. And for next week, I'm so excited to take parts of ourselves that we have exiled, especially in terms of sexuality, and bring those parts back online and use writing to incorporate those. And Chantel, also just hypnotherapy as well. Using all of our strategies to like bring in parts that we have, pushed away. And using, like, obviously this is my strategy of using writing to hear their voices again and bring them back online. And then obviously whatever you would like to share in terms of bringing everybody back.
Yeah, there are no bad parts of ourselves. And we just need to get curious with no judgment.
Yes,
absolutely. And like it really helped me not to judge myself so much. And it really helped to quiet that inner critic when I could just get curious without judgment and be like, what do you need? Like it's like, actually, I remember now when I first, like when this concept first just really got integrated, I was watching there's a comedian, Kyle Cease, and he a motivational speaker, and he actually brought these two people on stage. He brought this adult and then he brought this child, and this adult was like judging himself for all these things, but then he was like, there was this actual child there on stage, and like he would never say those judgmental things to that child, right? Like if that child was lost on the playground, like he'd be like, oh, you know, like, are you okay? What do you need? Right. And so when we look at ourselves that way, and we talk to ourselves like as kindly as we would to a child, and I would hope everyone would talk to a child kindly, and it was not always the case, but really having that compassion, it goes a long way to silence the inner critic and get that inner coach on board. Because when we can motivate ourselves, then we can do so much more, you know, the things that we want to do, instead of that inner critic just shutting us down right away.
Absolutely. Yes. And we feel so much better, so much better.
Because I used to struggle a lot with anxiety going out into the world, you know, being raised in a cult and being taught that everything was the devil, and then going out into the real world being oh my God, everyone's out to get me. Well, I don't think like that anymore. I'm like, when I open the door and leave, it's just like, I remind myself, I have all the inner resources I need to navigate with whatever comes into my reality. And I do. And I walk out the door empowered. It's
so invaluable
to me. Yeah.
I love that. Yes.
Well, that's all I have to say about this. I'm looking forward to diving into everything a little bit deeper next episode.
Yes.
Thinking about it throughout the week.
Absolutely. Yes. Very excited to write with y'all. All right, so we'll see you in a week. Bye.
Bye.